Today on Inside MLFB, we're going to talk with Arkansas Tech head coach Ernest Wilson. This is Coach Wilson's second stint in the professional ranks after earlier coaching in the arena leagues. And he spent many times and many years coaching at all different levels and many different positions, brings a wealth of experience. Super excited to talk with Coach Wilson. Inside MLFB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet 50 at WynnBET and get 200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to check out our relaunch merch store, where you can get all your favorite SGPN gear. Just go to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And joining us today on Inside MLFB is Coach Ernest Wilson of the Arkansas Attack. Coach, welcome. Excited to finally talk to you in person, somewhat in person and face-to-face. How you doing today, Coach?
I am doing fine. How you doing, Adam?
I'm glad to be here. Glad we're here, too. We're days away from you going to Mobile and camp, right? I mean, you guys are all packed up, ready to go.
Well, actually, I'm en route right now. I'm trying to get there. I got to do a retirement get-together here, and from there, I'll be in Mobile tomorrow.
There we go. So en route on your journey. And, Coach, you've taken it's been a journey for you to get your first professional head coaching job. Can you just talk to us, you know, where's this journey taken you? I know you started way back at Allegheny College. Just what were some of the high points that you hit along the way there? From Allegheny until now as a professional football head coach?
Well, you know, I like to think, I always tease people, but I actually been a head coach three times already professionally. I was with the, back in 1998, I was with the Dayton Skyhawks of the Indoor Football League. And then I was with the Carolina Rhinos of AF2 and then Jacksonville of the AF2. You know, I've been fortunate enough when I was with all three of those teams or two of the three, I went to the playoffs or the semifinals three times, and unfortunately haven't got that big one yet. But then when I was at Jacksonville, we finished second place. But, you know, I've been successful. I've worked with many, many great coaches that people know from, you know, starting out with Joe Philbin in D3. Joe Philbin, who was the head coach of the Dolphins, now is assistant head coach at assistant head coach over at Dallas Cowboys. And then also I worked with Ken O'Keefe, who's at Iowa, who just walked off the field. But we won a national championship there at Allegheny College and won 24 straight games. Then I was fortunate enough to go and do an internship, my first internship with Ted Marchabrota, who's a great man. And I really enjoyed working with him. He really had me into every aspect of the NFL. And it was great. I just can't keep saying it over and over. Finally, the next step, I went over to University of Maine with Kirk Ferentz of Iowa. He's at Iowa now, but I had an opportunity to work with Kirk, and he was a great person, too. I mean, they were outstanding. They were good family men, good all-around men and people that I'm naming. And then, of course, as you can see, great coaches. And then I went on to the mega, with Joe Paterno, and had an opportunity to work with Coach Paterno and his staff, and went to the bowl game, went 10-2 the first year and 12-0 the second year in the Rose Bowl. So, you know, they were in the Rose Bowl. I actually got taken a job right before that. He couldn't do it, but, you know, we went to the Citrus Bowl, and they had a losing team the year before I came. And we turned it around, made it 10-2, finished like number two or three in the nation. Went on from there. We have a long resume, by the way, if you don't know it. Went on from there. I went over to Alabama A&M, worked with a guy named Reggie Oliver. Reggie Oliver is the quarterback in the movie We Are Marshall. And okay. It's a true story. he was there. He was actually, he played quarterback for Marshall then. So that was exciting. Got to know him. I was mentored by him, but I got to know him even more. From there, went to Elizabeth City State, which was my first offensive coordinating job. That was good. Then worked over to Oberlin College for a semester. And again, that's when I got my first head coaching jobs in arena ball and enjoyed it. I mean, we sent more guys. Those when you talk about what have you done and sent more guys there than to the NFL, AF1, and all those other places than any other team during that tenure. And then next I went over to, I decided to get out of eight-man football and get back into college. And I just thought I was going to relax and went to a school called Benedict College and ended up having their first winning season. And since like in like 20 years or so. And that was exciting. Then from Benedict, I used to always have a coach that was from Mississippi State. He said, you think you're a high mummy. And I'm like, no, but he said, oh, he threw the ball. He was at Mississippi State when Howe was at Kentucky. Next thing you know, I get a phone call from Howe Mummy saying, would you come and work for me? So I worked for him for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and enjoyed it. And he left, and we went over to I worked for a guy named Dwayne Walker. He had been in the NFL. And then from there, I went over. Doing this thing on the phone.
But you're good.
From there, I went on to Howe Mummy. Then I went to Jackson State, which I finished number one. I was an offensive coordinator there and worked under a great man named Rick Comegy and ran. We had to know they were the worst offense in the country. Mm-hmm. And ended up, they said, you know, when I called to find a place, people said, oh, you got to find a football team offense over there. And they were the worst offense in the country. And I took them my first year, took them to number 15. And I was sitting there with the AD, and the AD said, you did a great job taking us from nowhere to 15 in the country, but can you repeat it? And they had put a raise incentive in there. And I said, yes. So I always tease Jackson State. When they talk about Deion Sanders, I said before it was Deion Sanders, it was Ernest Wilson. Which that's not true. There was a lot of great players that came through there. But I ended up finishing number one in the country in total offense in every category or most categories. I was either two or three behind a fellow Air Raid guy. But from there, I took on my head coaching job in college in Savannah State. Or I went to Hampton and had opportunity to meet their Don Rose and work under him and did well. Got a job at Savannah State. They called me in the middle of this recruiting and said, would you please come to Savannah State, which I did, and it was interesting. I said, I walked into a situation that didn't have a weight room. They still don't have a weight room on campus, or really on campus, and then they didn't have a they told me they were going to build one. And then they didn't have spring football because they were on probation. Mm-hmm. And they said, in 5 years, they said, I talked to the NCAA once I got on campus, and a little trickery there. And they told me, look, it's going to take them 5 years, which under, I say, my Bridget, I'm trying to think of Bridget's last name because I want to give her some love. But she ended up, Bridget Tabor, my academic advisor and myself, we got them off in 2 years and got spring ball back. And so that was when they were, you know, we're trying to play Miami, Troy State, Georgia Southern without spring football.
Right. And that was Savannah's first year moving up from D2 to FCS, wasn't it? They were.
No, they had been in FCS and never won an FCS or a Division I football game.
That was
game.
It. It was shortly after they made that pivot to FCS that you came in. You had inherited this team, this program that had a lot of things that were missing. Spring football, weight room, just nothing. And you
academic, built up to a point. lacking scholarships, lacking everything. But it was cool because I wish I had stayed there. I love the area. Savannah's a great area. But I wish I had stayed there. But, you know, unfortunately, I decided because of controversy, not but building the weight room pretty much and not giving my guys a chance to really be successful. I moved on to Elizabeth City State, which I was coach of the year there. And every year offensively, I was producing people and doing well. But I was coach of the year my first year, and it was neat. And then next year, I had 10 freshmen out there. But it was good. It was good. Then I went to Elizabeth. I wanted to come home to my mother, who was in Ohio at the time, and ended up going to a little school. My buddy got the head coaching job. And at Defiance College, and I really only planned to stay one semester. And you know, when you plan to stay one place for whatever, I enjoyed it, and I ended up going 4 years and became the interim head coach this past year. Then next thing you know, I'm talking to, I was in the spring league last summer with Hal Mummy coaching DBs, and I say Mike McCarty came through, and I knew Mike, Mike and I, we got the same type of, situation, which we met, been everywhere, met everybody.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, Mike, how you doing? What are you doing here? You know, et cetera. Then he said what he was trying to do. And I said, anything to help these kids out. And so Mike and I started talking, and next thing you know, he calls me up, and I always say, I give it to Christ. I believe in God, and I believe in God. I'm a Christian. And I was told that I would lead, and I would lead. I got out of church, and Mike started talking to me about, and I decided to ask a phone call right after I'm sitting in the church parking lot. And 30 minutes, we into about 30 minutes in the conversation, he said, I don't think you need to be assistant coach. I think you probably need to be a head coach. He said, you mind if you recommend me to Frank Murtha? And I said, yeah. And that night, Frank called me up about 30, 40 minutes in the conversation. He goes, hey, I think we found our fourth head coach. So I always say it was a miracle. And I'm ecstatic to be coaching here. I think there's a lot. And, you know, I didn't talk to you about all the NFL guys and everything else. But, you know, I've been blessed. I've been very blessed to have a great coaching career. And I just hope to be able to provide the development that the players need, the coaches need, the league need. They will tell you, I've done everything or tried to help them with everything, anything, because I understand their mission, and I'm really enjoying it.
Good. Awesome. I mean, coach, you're one of the most, there are some heavy hitting coaches in here, and you are the coach that I think a lot of people aren't excited for right now, but they're going to be excited for by the end of this when they see the offensive talent and ability that you're going to put on that field. I mean, you talked about it a little bit. Your Jackson State offenses were prolific. Your Hampton offenses were prolific. Your Defiance offense, your Savannah State offense, your Elizabeth City offense, all of those were offenses that you could see were on the cusp of something, and they were growing and they were getting better, and you were improving and coaching that offensive talent. And, you know, you just bring that explosiveness, you know, just talk about a little bit about your philosophy. You've described it to people before as air raid, but pro style, because you're going to use the tight ends and the super back, as you call them. I know you don't have fullbacks and tight ends. You have a super back, right?
Well, I'm a little bit different now.
Okay.
When I was at Defiance, I did not run the offense. I was just running backs coach, special teams coordinator, academic recruiting coordinator, everybody else. I held all titles and all things. Associate coach. But Manny actually ran that, and they were okay. I actually didn't do well there as an offense. But I had all conference running backs. What was being coaching running backs, I had all conference running backs almost every year. And 1 year I had two all conference running backs. Mm-hmm. So that was unique. And I had, like I said, I always had fun teaching young men. My offensive style is a kind of a pro style / air raid. I was blessed because going into coaching and meeting Hal Mummy, I was an offensive coordinator. What Coach Mummy did, and I want to give him his kudos, he taught me how to be an offensive coordinator, how to put plays in certain situations, et cetera, et cetera. How many plays can you run during a game? And so that was kind of unique. And so what I did was I did that, made sure that I had high reps, a certain rotation, everything else. And that's why I feel like we're successful, because we will practice everything over and over, just like if you were running an option or veer or something, you practice it over and over against all looks. And he broke down the looks. And so I was taught that, and I've been able to continue doing it. And I've been able to do it and get it done. And that's what I always give it to Hal. But there was many other people. Ted Marchbrota taught me some things, Kenny O'Keefe and Joe Philbin. So I put a little bit of everything together, but 80% of it is probably Hal Mumme.
Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet 50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Bet $500 on sports or casino before July 31st, 2022. Get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for all of mine. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper 2 by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under, for example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. We've relaunched the SGPN merch store. Tons of awesome gear from your favorite SGPN shows. We'll have inside MLFB gear up soon. Just go to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. That's store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Okay, awesome. You know, we talked about your philosophy. You talked about the players and your passion that you want to turn these young men into even a higher level of professional football players. As you're scouting players, trying to find them and bring them into the league, what are the traits that are most important for you that you're looking for on film, or as you talk to them and you talk to their coaches? What are you looking for in an Arkansas Tech player to help them get to the next level?
Well, I've always been a recruiting coordinator, and Coach Mumme and I give him some book, but almost every level I've been a recruiting coordinator, director of player personnel, or when I put my teams together. And I basically look for number one, you want to look always for fundamentals and techniques. You want to look for effort. I have something that I call feet fundamentals, your energy, your effort, execution, and then technique. And that's what I look for. I try to make, I try to look at that. I look for how the guy's character, how he carries himself. This is a developmental league. My job is to help coach them up on fundamentals and techniques, but also on business matters. Some of them don't understand coming out of college, unfortunately, that this is a business. And they were in college exchanging their physical attributes for the college and the university. And I'm trying to get them mature and be men. Now we got to go back another 2 or 3 years with this league, hopefully. And hopefully it only take 1 year. But teach them everything. Teach them everything physically, spiritually, and mentally. And usually they walk away, understanding great things. And that's what I'm looking for in a player. Are you willing to come in and revamp, try to study why you made it or you didn't make it? And what can I do to help you get there?
Awesome. I mean, that's just, Coach, that's amazing. And I know, you have an extensive history coaching at lower levels. I'm going to say lower level, but sub FBS schools as a head coach. You have a lot of experience in HBCUs where, like you said earlier, Jackson State was there before Deion Sanders got there. And everybody just needs to realize the talent level that exists at these colleges. And, you know, we've seen a lot of players, you know, some players who have announced that are going to be on your team. It seems like you are using that idea of there's untapped talent at the HBCU level in your recruiting approach. I'm going to call it recruiting for lack of a better word, because you're going out, you're calling guys and you're trying to convince them to come in. Do you think that that's something that's we're going to see more players who have been maybe missed by pro scouts and the pro levels come in from HBCUs? And why do you think they've been missed all these years?
Okay, I think there's a couple things that's going on here. And I know that certain people are using it as their platform, but I've always used it as a platform. When I was at some smaller schools, I felt like some players could play and could be successful. When I'm at the HBCUs, there's a lot of kids that were underdeveloped, and our job is to develop them. I don't think always the NFL is familiar with the personnel that goes out to scout these. They hear something, and they don't go any farther. If you look at my background, especially in the AF2, in arena ball, and the guys moved on to Division I, and even with CFL, I had a young man named Chris Williams that I would go to all the CFL workouts and tell him about Chris. And I say, he only weighs 150, 160 pounds. And they were like, oh, I said, guys, I've been in the NFL. I've been everywhere. I said, this kid can get it. And I said, he was All-American, caught over 100 balls or something one year. And they didn't believe it. The Hamilton Tiger Cats took a chance on this young man. And he ended up being the player of the year in the CFL. Same thing with a kid named Daquan Neal that was in arena football. And I told him what he needed to do. And I don't think he exactly believed. And then he started to believe it. He went to the arena football league. And this was just recently, 4 years ago. And when he played for Mount Elizabeth City State, the guy was not the rookie of the year. And he went to a tryout. He was the player of the year. There's a lot of kids out there that can play. Now, are they willing to revamp or rethink about what they have to do, or are they willing? Or you know, I say we start with them first. You know, what are you willing to do to get better and believe in your dream? Okay, and that's what I think. That's why I've been successful in picking up people and developing them and moving them on to other levels. And then Chris ended up playing for the Chicago Bears, but. You know, there's a lot of talent out there. I think Mike McCarty's an interesting guy. I say it like that. I like listening to sometimes we get in these conversations at 1 o'clock in the morning, which I can't figure that out. He's my bro. What do they call him, friend bro or whatever he is in Major League Football? Yeah. But we get into some weird conversation. I accidentally answer a question or he accident, and then we're off and running. But you know he's a great pro personnel person, and he knows everything and everybody that's going on. So I've had a lot of good times with him, and helping put this league together. Even though I'm supposed to be coaching, but I'm having a good time. And but you know, to go back to what you're saying with the young men, you know, that's my job, and that's what they explained to me. But I already felt, and that's why I really like these adventures. These ventures and adventures, so that's what I'm all about right now.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of coffee? Did you have some coffee this morning? How'd you pick it? You probably just went to the grocery store and just guessed what you thought you'd like best, or maybe you have a coffee shop nearby, a big bucks chain that doesn't necessarily personalize your tastes. Well, not with Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee can connect customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever had at home. Trade's gonna partner you with the best craft roasters. These are small, independent businesses from big cities and small towns all across America. Trade customers, you have a chance to make a big impact for this. This is expertly tasted and crafted coffee, and Trade Coffee Team actually tastes thousands of coffees to keep 450 kinds live and ready to ship out every day. There's no perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you. And Trade's human-powered algorithm is going to find it. Trade is so confident, they'll match you right the first time, that if they didn't, they'll take your feedback and an actual coffee expert will work with you to send a brand new bag for free. Right now, Trade is offering a new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right, without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, password, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP.
You've obviously been putting your roster together a little bit. Is there any player that you've kind of in your recruiting and that you've gotten on the attack that you're like, I'm excited to watch this guy play. I'm excited for this kid to get his shot and let him loose on the field.
I'm excited for every single one of them. I would say that there's some guys I'm signing a quarterback that to me is almost like Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. And I'm real excited, about that.
That's out of St. Augustine, right? Jones?
I can't say yet.
I'm going to have to get this out fast, think, Coach, so that way the tease is still back, there.
He led him to a bowl game. He led after to a bowl game, so I'm real excited about it. But, hold on. This was it.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously Coach is traveling, folks. He's on his way to Mobile. Yeah. He's a busy man. You know, everything's going to be moving fast here because you got to spend a couple weeks in Mobile here getting training camp installed and everything. And then it's back up to Little Rock for the season. You know, and you've obviously got rosters. That's exciting that you've got an electric quarterback. Because it seems like, you know, having looked back and watched some of your teams, my favorite offenses that I watched when I was doing the research and trying to find games were when you had the electric quarterback who could make plays in every phase of the game. And I, you know, you mentioned Daquan Neal, and Daquan Neal, you know, went to the Arena League, and he should be, if anyone's an Arena fan, they know Daquan Neal because he has just put up absolutely amazing numbers there. And it shows that he had some good coaching behind the scenes. So.
Yes. And you know, I had players of the year in HBCU with Casey Terrio. I had players of the year in other league. And, you know, I was laughing because I was looking back at how many people think I'm a quarterback guru and I'm only 5'9". Never really played quarterback. Read up on. I played quarterback when I was in high school. When I threw one pass, I think it was an interception. But now I'm a guru. But I didn't realize how many quarterbacks I put out, and that's been unique, or that, you know, been in the top, whatever. So you know, it's really unique to be able to coach and enjoy your coaching and help people out.
Yeah, Coach, you're the coach of the Arkansas Attack, playing in Little Rock, Arkansas. How's it feel to be bringing professional football to a state like Arkansas that's never had it, and to a city like Little Rock that has such a rich football history? How does it feel to be bringing pro football to those folks?
I'm very, very excited, and I'll tell you why. When I was in AF2, and I always tell the Major League Football, they might want to look at the AF2 markets back in the day when it first started out, because I'll never forget Arkansas, Little Rock, had a team, and they were averaging like 16,000 to 18,000 people a game. And that was amazing. You know, we were averaging 10, 12 under Carl Shearer and David Stearns of the NBA. But these people are averaging 18,000. If I can get that same crowd to the War Memorial and get the town excited about this team, and we got Arkansas players, we got Central Arkansas players, we got Southern Arkansas players, I got them all on a team. So it's a smorgasbord of all the type of players we have, you know, Division One, former NFL, CFL players. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a great product. I really look forward to having it there in Arkansas. It's just that right market. So
anything you want to tell the people of Arkansas as you're getting ready for the season? What should they look forward to, or just anything you think they should know about you and your team that's coming to town here?
I get Joe Phil when you say keep your helmets on and your head low. So, hey, we're going to be heading. And then I have other coaches say, hey, we're going to bring the scunion. And hopefully we have a little bit of onion with the prime, because we just want to upset somebody. So that's what I'm looking to do. And I'm looking to – the talent is there. Let's enjoy this talent. This is your team. And let's have fun doing it. Let's have lots of fun doing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Coach, for your time. I know you're a busy man. Appreciate you joining us here. And we're looking forward to seeing what you do here, Coach. Super excited to watch you return to the professional ranks.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, and go Major League Football. Let's do it.
There we go. Over.